pre-recorded from his basement. It's the Kyle Szilagyi Variety Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the War Room. This is perhaps the most exciting episode of the Kyle Szilagyi Variety Hour yet, because we are doing a full 7-round mock draft for the Buffalo Bills 2020, saying it in a very roundabout way, the Buffalo Bills 2020 NFL Draft Prediction Mock Draft Final Haul 2020. So what we're going to be doing is taking a website. I think it's Draft Network. I think that's the draft machine we're using. A full 7-round mock draft simulation where we're going to be controlling the Bills. And we're going to be taking it very seriously. We might break out some Southern accents at some point to try to replicate Brandon Bean's voice. And it's going to be, if anything, it'll be entertaining, hopefully, because it'll probably go into chaos. Knowing this podcast, it'll absolutely devolve into chaos, probably sooner rather than later. So yeah, I think that's basically it. I think that basically sums up what we're going to be doing today, is this whole 7-round mock draft, which this could take anywhere from 20 minutes to 3 hours. D'Lo, you and I years ago recorded a whole off-season prediction podcast with Rob Quinn, in which he played Brandon Bean, you played Sean McDermott.
Yes.
And I played Terry Pegula, and then that went 3 hours, and then Rob was like, okay, Kyle, are you going to edit it? And then I was like, absolutely not, you can edit it, and he never did. So that never saw the light of day. We just wasted 3 hours playing. We spent 3 hours essentially playing Madden, but without any of the gameplay. So yeah, there you go. Joining me today, first, it's D'Lo on his birthday. D'Lo, how are you?
I'm doing great. Another year toward midlife crisis.
Justin DeLauro, how does it feel to be 25 today?
It's amazing. I just feel younger and stronger by the minute.
The big 2-5. Also here, it's McKenna Middlebrook. McKenna, how was Austin?
Austin Tejas was a great time. It was great. I was down there meeting some hot shots down there, some people in the tech industry. I'm not even kidding. I met some politicians and stuff. And it was a wild time, great time. Fascinating city. And I think I nailed my Southern accent for this, you know, talking to some real, real Texans.
Oh yeah, you got some practice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It'll come when we have to make a big decision. That's when I'll bust out the Texan accent.
Right, right. Good. When you said I was down there meeting some hot, I did not expect it to go shots. I thought you were going to be like, I was down there meeting some hot chicks. Having a great time in Austin. But
just meeting some hot shots down there.
Meeting some good old hot shots down there.
Meeting some politicians and those guys in the tech industry.
Does Austin have a burgeoning tech industry?
Yes. Facebook, Google, Indeed, Oracle, all have offices down there, and all of their campuses are huge. It's
really
awesome. Yeah,
did not expect that.
Neither did I. Like, I went to the Oracle campus. Literally, they have like 4 buildings there, all for like 10,000 people, and apartments for the workers. It's wild stuff.
That's insane.
Yeah, just because it's cheap down there, everything's cheap. Well, when they moved, it was. Now it's becoming a little more expensive. But, you know.
Don't they have good tacos? Isn't that like an Austin thing?
Oh, tacos. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the food was great. We had Matt. We had great barbecue. We even had great seafood, which was really surprising.
Hmm. You wouldn't expect that, given that Austin is not by a sea.
No.
But,
it's
hey.
By the Gulf. I guess. It's sort of by the Gulf of Mexico, but, you know.
The more you know. So, yeah. I think, like I said, we do not know how long this is going to go, so we might as well jump right into it. I've shared my screen with you guys on Google Hangouts. I'm sure this is exactly how a war room works in the NFL.
Definitely.
Is the general manager just hops on Google Hangouts with a few of his key executives in the war room, shares his screen, and says, here's all my stuff. Here's everything you need to know.
No whiteboards.
No whiteboards. Do you guys have your Surface tablets? Your league mandated Microsoft Surface tablets?
Yes.
gotta whip them out to watch tape, and then you gotta make notes on Devin Singletary saying he is the funnest guy. Do you think that meant, like, film-wise, or do you think, like, Devin Singletary just likes to party when Brandon Bean said that?
Maybe he likes to party.
He just likes to party.
Think so. I think he likes to party. Down at FAU, there's not much else to do, really.
The mean streets of Boca Raton, as Brian Baldinger always says when he talks about Devin Singletary. The mean streets of Boca Raton, Florida, which is just hilarious. So, before we get started on this official... very professional 7-round mock draft. A few notes to be had. First, we are using the draftnetwork.com/mock/draft/machine. There are, I think, hundreds of other mock draft machines on the internet, but we're using this one because I've done a few tests, and I think this consistently gets you the most realistic top of the draft. Like, I used a few others. And more often than not, Joe Burrow wasn't even going to the Bengals. Chase Young wasn't going top five. So in my tests with this machine, Joe Burrow typically goes number one, and Chase Young typically goes either two or three. So it might not be the most realistic near the top, but neither of them are going to be there when we pick at 22. So that gets you a bit more realistic. And also... it's also important to note that we're doing this on January 12th before free agency. So the needs for the team, the needs for the Bills may change after free agency, obviously, because they're going to sign some players. But this is, as of right now, who we think the Bills should take. And also, we don't control who the other teams take. So, like, if Jeff Okuda's there at 22, don't get mad at us. We didn't do the draft. Blame the draft network. It's their machine that's broken, not us. So yeah, before we get started here, before we dive in into this beautiful mock draft, let's quickly go over what we think the priorities are entering this draft. We need to go over the positions that we need, that we feel we need to target in this draft. I think first is the Bills need a number one offensive playmaker. And I think that's what we should target early, on day one of the draft, if you will. They need to target an offensive playmaker, whether that be at running back or at wide receiver. And also, I just think throughout the rest of the draft, it's just depth, primarily on defense, to be honest. I think the defense is more talented than the offense as of right now, but I think the offense has more depth on the Bills. If you just look at the roster, I mean, obviously the defensive unit's more talented. Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. That's where the talent is on this Bills roster. But I feel like the drop-offs on the defense are more significant than that on the offense. Like, you look at wide receiver, yeah, Cole Beasley and John Brown, they're your headliners. But, like, the drop-off from Cole Beasley to Isaiah McKenzie isn't huge. And the drop-off from Isaiah McKenzie to... Robert Foster isn't huge. There's less significant drop-offs, and that could be because there's less talent on offense, but I do feel there's more offensive depth than there is on defense, because you look at defense, like, if Matt Milano goes down, you're looking at Corey Thompson. I don't want that. If Micah Hyde goes down, you're looking at Jaquan Johnson or Kurt Coleman. It's like that's the drop-offs are more significant on defense, I feel. So I just think, in general, they need defensive depth in this draft. So what do you guys think are the Bills' biggest needs entering this draft? I'm going to write them down because we're being real official here.
I think what I have written down, wide receiver, which that's sort of like self-explanatory, and edge rusher, someone, you know, I think that's something at times the Bills excelled at, but I think the pass rush was really inconsistent, which is an issue. And then, yeah, I just have just depth across the defense and maybe another running back because – I don't think Frank Gore is going to be back next season.
Right.
And behind Devin Singletary is TJ Yeldon, and that's about it, I think. And maybe
right, and that's...
and maybe Christian Wade.
I don't think... Like, obviously, the drop-off from Singletary to Yeldon is significant, but Yeldon's not a bad... Like, if you told me they're entering next season with Singletary and Yeldon, I'd be like, okay, that's not bad. I don't hate that, but also I do agree that they need another running back. D'Lo, what are your priorities entering this draft?
I've got quite a few for a 10-6 team.
True.
They definitely need a playmaker. I feel like that's number one. The reason I'm on the fence with it is if this wide receiver group is as deep as we think it is, we might be able to get a playmaker in the second round. But definitely, let's make sure wide receiver's up there. We need an edge rusher. I actually, if there were a top flight cornerback to play opposite Trey White, I'd be good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line, I could see us getting something. I don't know if there's going to be a starter from that line. We don't know yet what the team's going to do with Quentin Spain. We don't know if, they're absolutely, in love with Cody Ford being the tackle. Do they bump him inside? Do they decide that Deion Dawkins comes inside? Do they decide to keep consistency? So somebody who could be, a pretty flexible offensive lineman who could play guard and tackle to give some depth might be something. Linebacker depth is big.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh round, we got to get a punter.
They just signed Corey Vedvik.
Didn't that dude miss a bunch of kicks earlier in the season against us?
Yes. He was on Minnesota in the preseason, and against the Bills, he sucked in the fourth game, which caused Minnesota to cut him. The Jets picked him up, and then he sucked against the Bills again in week one and was cut. So the Bills made this guy lose a job twice. It's only, it was kind of like a community service move. They're like, we cost you out of two jobs. We're the reason you don't have a job, so we might as well give you one this offseason. So it was real nice of him to do that for Vedvik.
I mean, one more time and he gets a hat trick.
Exactly. True. Well, it's just like, hey, if you're gonna play yourself out of the league, it's not going to be against us anymore. It's going to be for us. So that's some real forward thinking there from Brandon Bean. Wasn't he good? Wasn't he on the Ravens and they traded him because they had the best kicker of all time already?
I have no idea.
I do believe that's his lore. I do believe that's his story. Is he was on the Ravens and he was good and Minnesota needed a kicker, so they traded for him, which you never see kickers traded for. Which is just, hey, maybe he'll be good. Maybe I've always thought this. This is just me being dumb. But why wouldn't you just find a guy who can kick and punt?
Two different skill sets.
Well, find a guy who has both of them. Like, you got another roster spot. If you don't have to keep a kicker and a punter, you can just have one.
Vedvik was, so the Bills were the fifth team Vedvik's been on in the last 5 months.
Wow.
Baltimore, Minnesota, the Jets. Apparently he was signed to the practice squad of Cincinnati for a few weeks, and then we signed him.
How bad are you if you're on Cincinnati's practice squad? Bad.
Who's Cincinnati's kicker? Who the hell knows?
Oh, I think I know. I'm going to say Nugent. I think that's a name.
I think you're right on that. That sounds
Nugent.
Might be Nugent.
Kicker.
Mike Nugent.
Ah, he's a free agent.
We could
sign
him.
I think that was the Bengals kicker for a while, because that is a very familiar name.
He was the Bengals kicker from 2010 to 2016.
Oh.
I was close enough. I got a Bengals kicker.
Randy Bullock,
that's who it is.
There it is.
Dude, kickers suck. Kickers are the worst. Except Pat McAfee. Well, he's a punter. Punters are cool.
Punters.
Justice for punters. So are we good? Can we get started here?
Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
And all also, right. I think another criteria is we won't be trading out of picks, right? Yeah.
That's another. Thank you, D'Lo. I had like 5 points I needed to hit before this. I don't think I've hit one of them, but yes. This draft machine does not allow for trading out or trading up, trading down. You pick where you pick, which it's another reason why this draft will ultimately probably go 0 for 7 or 0 for however many picks they have. I think they have 9. But that's why this draft will ultimately be, null and void, because we can't trade, and Brandon Bean loves to trade. But anyway, we'll do the best with what we have. We'll do what we can. So can you guys see my screen here?
Oh, yeah.
Go Bills.
All right. Here we go. Selecting the Bills. We're using TND's predictive board.
TDN.
TDN. What did I say?
You said TND.
Who cares? I don't. We're using the Draft Network's predictive board, which hey, that hopefully they predict Joe Burrow to go number one and Chase Young to go number two, because I think just about anybody who's paid any sort of attention to college football this year can tell you that that's how that's going to go. We got a 7-round mock. We selected for the number of rounds 7. We're going to go slow, just because even the slow is very fast. Even the slow is very fast. That gives us about 5 seconds in between picks. And Manuel. So here we go. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. They select Joe Burrow. Thank God it's official. Redskins select Jeff Okuda. There you go. Oh. Isaiah Simmons goes to the Lions. Chase Young goes to 4. Okay, well, there. That's fine. The Dolphins did not take Tua. They took Jedrick Wills, tackle out of Alabama. Tua is falling. I repeat, Tua is falling.
Wow.
Out of the top 10, Jerry Jeudy goes 9 to Jacksonville. This is chaotic. This is going so fast. CeeDee Lamb goes to the Jets. Kenneth Murray goes 12 to the Raiders. I wanted him. Tua goes to the Colts.
Wow.
Justin Herbert goes to the Bucks. What is going? This is ridiculously fast. AJ Epinesa goes to the Falcons. We are fastly approaching. We are quickly going on the clock here.
DeAndre Swift. Ooh, that's a bad pick by the Dolphins.
T. Higgins goes to the Raiders. Trayvon Diggs, 20th. And C.J. Henderson, cornerback. So there was a run on corners before the Bills went on the clock.
We have a decision to make.
Yeah, we actually.
Here we are. There was a run on cornerbacks, which leaves two very good wide receivers on the board. Henry Ruggs out of Alabama and Laviska Shenault out of Colorado. Laviska Shenault's available. We'll have a conversation. It's currently 12:29. We have 10 minutes to discuss this.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we're going to need 10 minutes, but we have 10 minutes to discuss the 22nd overall pick in the draft. All right, so before we started this, we looked at what we needed, and I think we all agree that what the Bills need is a number one offensive playmaker, preferably at wide receiver, maybe running back if someone's there, but preferably a number one wide receiver or an edge rusher. So what we have in front of us right now, you guys can see my screen. I'll tell you quickly the players I would be looking at with this pick. First and foremost would be Laviska Shenault. We've talked about him. We talked about him last week on the podcast. Laviska Shenault, I think he's not your prototypical boundary number one guy. He's not your T. Higgins, but he is. I think he could be a volume guy. I think he could be a number one weapon in an offense just because of the variety of ways you can get the ball to him. Then there's Henry Ruggs, who's a speed guy. And we know that the Bills like speed in their wide receivers. And he's very, very fast. But I don't think I like him more than Shenault. And then there's Kalyvon Chaisson. Those would be my top three to look at right now. Kalyvon Chaisson, the edge rusher out of LSU. You could probably play him at defensive end, or you could throw him at linebacker. You could have him replace Lorenzo Alexander. But here's my hesitancy when it comes to selecting a potential linebacker in the draft. Is Lorenzo Alexander's role, while it was important, was not... It's not something I would replace in the first round. I did some research before we started this draft here today, boys. And Lorenzo Alexander was the play. I mean, we know the Bills like to play a lot of nickel. Mm-hmm. Lorenzo Alexander was the player who came off the field when nickel was played. You look at the snap counts throughout the year. Tremaine Edmonds played 996 snaps. Matt Milano played 906, and he missed week 7. Lorenzo Alexander only played 502 snaps, and he only played on 50% of snaps in 6 games, and he did that twice when Matt Milano was either out entirely or got injured mid-game. So 2 of his times playing more than 50% of the snaps were when he had to replace another player. So, look, I think Lorenzo Alexander, I think that is a hole they'll need to fill, the hole left by Lorenzo Alexander. I just don't know if I would do it in the first round. I like Kalyvon Chaisson. I think he could be a defensive end or he could be an outside linebacker. But I don't know if I would take him when Laviska Shenault's on the board. So I'll go to you, D'Lo. Where are you leaning towards in this draft?
See, this is a tough one because Jerry Hughes is going into the last year of his contract, as is Trent Murphy, correct?
Yep.
They're both. So the challenge is, I think Chaisson would be a great pick. I'm just wondering, would he see enough time in that first year to make it worthwhile? Are we making a pick? You know, if Chaisson's the pick, it's almost like we're saying, okay, we're waiting for 2021 to really give him a lot of time, because I just see the team really hanging on to Trent Murphy, you know, giving him and Hughes the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Chenault, I mean, if I go by priority and we go by what has this team struggled with, I mean, I think we'd have to go wide receiver. Defensively, pretty much everybody's coming back.
Yeah.
And if we're going to say this team is an elite defense, they should be able to at least come close to producing what they did this past year with the same, you know, similar personnel. So I think I mean, I'm thinking about Ruggs, but I just, oh. You know what? I would go Chenault. I'll go the whole, you know what, we need a bigger receiver and a bigger playmaker. So I would lean towards Chenault.
McKenna, what do you think? This has no stakes whatsoever yet. I'm so stressed.
All right. I think Chenault should be the pick here because of everything we've talked about earlier. He's physical. He's strong. He can make great plays after the catch, and he's not, you know, a traditional, you know, number one sort of guy, but he's just a playmaker. And get the ball in his hands, he'll do work for you. He can make some magic happen, which I think something that's like what the Bills sort of lack. They lack sort of that creativity. John Brown is a really great route runner, but once he gets the ball in his hands, he doesn't have that skill set, you know.
Right, unless there's open field in front of him, he's probably getting taken down.
Yeah, then he's just gonna go. Then he's just gonna run. But I think Chenault just gives you that edge, that X factor almost. It sounds a little cliche, but I think he's the obvious choice, honestly, because looking at Ruggs the third, there are a lot of speedy guys on the Bills roster. So, do they really need another one?
Right. They don't lack speed. That is something they do not lack. And Chenault's—he's not slow.
Yeah, but that's not his—that's not his strength. It's his physicality. It's his after the catch ability. So yeah, I think Chenault should be the pick here. And I think there are a lot I've gone through this. You know, I've done a couple mock drafts on here, and you know, there's some depth at linebacker and edge rusher. So I think Chenault's the way to go.
Well, that's another point, and we are running out of time here quickly. We've spent 5 minutes. But, D'Lo, you brought up earlier, this is a rule that I've put on myself as it takes 10 minutes, but it's making me just
We should cut it in half, because we'll be here for 17 hours.
So, well, it goes, I think next round we'll have 8 minutes, and then after that we'd have five. But, so, anyway, with Laviska Chenault, you brought this up earlier, D'Lo, there is depth in this receiving core. Let's just look at some of the receivers who could be available in the second round when we come around again. Justin Jefferson would be a great pick. Jalen Reagor, KJ Hamler, Brandon Ayuk, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Those are all very good receivers who could be available when the Bills pick next. I don't even know when the Bills' next pick is in the second round. But those are players who could be there. But again, I think the drop-off from Chenault to Jefferson... I mean, I really like Chenault, so I think the drop-off's pretty steep there. I like KJ Hamler, but again, he's kind of a speed guy. I do like Chaisson. I'm kind of thinking myself into Chaisson here with, I mean, because like you said, D'Lo, it's the play time, especially in that first year, you don't know what it's going to be because, you know, with that outside linebacker role opposite Milano, it doesn't get a lot of play time, but also you could use him as an edge rusher. You could have him play. Yeah. And if they don't bring back Shaq, he could be your rotational defensive end and your linebacker.
I mean, I think Chaisson would be more of an edge guy for us. So, I mean, I could see that happening. And if you think about it, how they used Ed Oliver this year, how Oliver kind of eased in, and then by the end of the year, he was much more of a force. That could be something that we do at Chaisson.
I'm in love with two players here, boys. This is the issue.
What cornerbacks do we have left?
Oh, you just want to look at corners now?
Just really quickly. I know we're running out of time, but just...
We got A.J. Terrell, Bryce Hall. I don't think there's anyone worth picking here.
Not first round.
Yeah, I think there's two or three maybe, and they already got drafted.
Yeah, the guys I'd like Diggs went 20. Okay, no.
Yeah, there's depth at corner, but yeah, there's not a lot of like there's not really any more first round talent, I think.
I mean, Chaisson. I mean, I
yeah, that's a nice pick.
If the defense is just, you add Chaisson to that defense, and just it'd be really good now, and you're setting it up for a very, very bright future with Tremaine Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, Caleb on Chaisson. That, I mean, 5 years from now, still that defense, or that front seven, even is just one of the league's best, and then you'll still have Trey White, whoever in the secondary. That would just be insane. But also, you need to surround Josh Allen, especially in his third year, the year when he's supposed to make the jump and stop developing and become a good quarterback. You need to give him a guy who to get the ball to. So, guys, if you're okay with it, I think Laviska Shenault would be my pick.
That's my pick as well.
D'Lo?
All right, go for it.
Nice. Are you signing off?
I'm going with the majority on the draft board.
Oh, so would you go Chaisson?
See, I don't know. There's a little piece of me, because I know Chaisson played a lot of outside linebacker.
Yeah.
So I don't know necessarily if we could just like turn him into a defensive end. You know, he did play with his hand in the dirt a little bit, right? Like from what I remember. So As you can see, I've done a lot of, you know, film study. So, but you know what? Let's go Shenault. Let's just do
We're
it.
We're going Shenault. We're out of time. I hope this doesn't happen to the Bills where there's like. We're out of time.
Just get the guy. Jordan Love. He's up there.
Just do it.
Brandon Bean. What are you doing?
Okay. With the 22nd pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Laviska Shenault, wide receiver, Colorado. I think that's a great pick. And Caleb on Chaisson goes to the Pats.
Of course he does.
Oh my God.
Of course, the next pick.
Oh my God.
And then Ruggs went 24th.
Yeah.
Jordan Love goes, dude, the Dolphins have got a just really good draft.
Yeah, they won't draft that well.
Jonathan Taylor goes to the Chiefs.
That's the earliest I've seen him go in these mocks.
Curtis Weaver. I like Curtis Weaver. He's a guy I wouldn't have minded taking out of Boise State. Right. He goes to the Bengals, first pick in the second round. Again, Jalen Hurts goes to the Chargers. They find their... their replacement for Phillip Rivers. Dude, the Dolphins, why do they have so many picks? Oh, yeah, because
they traded everybody.
They definitely did not tank.
J.K. Dobbins goes to the Jags. This is really chaotic here. K.J. Hamler goes to the Colts. That's fun. Travis Etienne goes to the Bucs.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I was hoping he would fall. I've done a few mocks where he falls to pick 54, which is where the Bills are. Bryson Hopkins goes to the Steelers. He would have been good. Hunter Bryant goes to the Bears. Oh,
the draft's
my God.
Guys, apart, boys.
The draft's falling apart. Oh. It really is. Let me write down what we still have or what we've done. We've picked Laviska Shenault thus far. And it's 12:40, so we have until 12:48 to make this pick. So we've got some time here. So let's look through. Let's see what's on the board. We got Lucas Niang, offensive tackle out of TCU, according to the Draft Network. That's the best player on the board. Then there's Prince Tiga Wanogo, offensive tackle out of Auburn.
Pronunciation on that. That was flawless.
Chuba Hubbard, it's Chuba, right? It's not Chuba, because Chuba Hubbard would be way too much fun. Not a chance. His name's Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard, running back out of Oklahoma State. That wouldn't be a bad pick. I wouldn't hate that pick. Looking at who else is on the board. Any names sticking out to you guys?
Not yet.
So for the people listening to the podcast, I'm currently scrolling through the names, and there's, and again, this could be because there's a name that just popped out to me.
Ross,
Antoine Winfield Jr.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Well, okay. Here's a discussion to have. We pick at 54, according to the Draft Network. He's the 88th best player in the draft, Antoine Winfield Jr. And I don't know if the Bills pick again until or before 84 or whatever I just said. But here's the thing. There's nobody before that that's really sticking out to me. You could go corner if you guys want to go.
I think Chuba Hubbard is I think it's a need. I think running back depth is a need, and he is he's an explosive player, and he's a guy that you can lean on a little bit. He's been so reliable at Oklahoma State for the past what, 2-3 years now.
Yeah, I like Hubbard.
I don't know. This is tough.
Here's a question. Is tight end a need in the second round, or do we like the tight end room?
I don't like the tight end room, but the free agency for tight ends is it's a pretty deep class looking at it. But we can't really speculate too much because we don't know what the Bills have done or what they're going to do. But I've watched a lot of Notre Dame, and Cole, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, I don't know. He never really stuck out to me, and I'm surprised.
You wouldn't take him with the 54th pick in the draft?
I wouldn't. I think they might be valuing him a little too much, I think.
Well, what are his measurables? Is he like 6'6 or something? He's 6'4.
The thing.
He played baseball. Cool for him. This is exactly how the draft works, just so you guys know. You just got guys going like, oh, he played baseball. That's pretty cool. But out of these guys, here's the thing.
Would you go corner?
I would go corner. I'm open to going corner.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Damon Arnett?
Ohio State is known for producing really great corners.
Yeah.
They are.
Oh, 6 foot. That's actually pretty tall for a corner, being at 6 foot.
He has good athleticism. He's a willing participant in the run game. This is according to the Draft Network. Good tackling.
Nice press.
In the passing game, he is good. That's expert analysis there. In the passing game, he is good.
I hope he's good.
He's terrible at covering.
He's good at press. He's really good at press. So.
Well, that's not man cover. That's not really a system fit, is it?
No, yeah. What did another guy say?
Let's go to Sakima.
Sakima. Sounds like a finish.
3-year contributor and 2-year starter for the Buckeyes. Good recognition and anticipation. Arnett knows his strengths and weaknesses, which is good and bad. What is this analysis?
You know what they do? Like,
that's all good. If you know your weaknesses and your strengths, that's a good thing to have. Won't play a lot of man coverage.
He came back for his senior year. He's not a great athlete, but Harris said he was very athletic. What is going on?
What does Joe Marino say? Marino likes the Bills.
Marino's smart. I like Marino.
Let's go, Joe Marino.
Thrives in press coverage, both soft press and when he's looking to truly jam routes at the release. Can be suffocating with his willingness to crowd routes. Let's look at his cons. That's what I more so care about. Willing participant against the run, but struggles to navigate through traffic and pursuit. That can be taught. Needs to collapse quicker when in off-man coverage and the receiver breaks inside. Although I like how he's square. I don't know what I'm reading.
Here's the thing, though. If he is, okay, we know we have a defensive-minded head coach.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he's able to bring players along. I mean, Levi Wallace secondary. Became a very, serviceable cornerback for us. I mean, I think they could bring along another guy, right?
And especially with someone with the talent of Damon Arnett, I think he could really, really thrive with just strong coaching.
All right, so can we agree that the conversation is down to Damon Arnett, cornerback out of Ohio State, and Chuba Hubbard, running back out of Oklahoma State? Can we agree that's the
yep.
We're looking at the two OSU players, if you will.
Yeah,
I see what you did there.
Very, very clever.
What's a bigger? He doesn't draft for need. Bean supposedly doesn't draft for need, but also they're going to bring Levi back. I don't know if they're going to bring Kevin Johnson back. So there's a drop off there. You do need another cornerback.
I would go Arnett.
I think I'm leaning Arnett.
I think there's more running backs floating around in the board that would be a good compliment.
Like Najee Harris will still be available.
For Singletary, yeah.
And that you don't need to draft a running back in the second round. Yeah. I just don't think you do. Unless he's
your number one guy.
Unless he's Travis Etienne or
right, exactly. J.K. Dobbins. All right, so with the 54th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Damon Arnett, cornerback, Ohio State. I like the pick. Even if he doesn't play right away, he'll be a good rotational guy because Levi's inconsistent. He is. Atlanta takes Jeff Gladney, cornerback. There's a run on corners. We started a run on corners here, boys. Two go in a row. Brandon Ayuk goes to Minnesota. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. It's Brandon Ayuk. That was a Lizzo reference.
Wow, you are young. You are hip.
I'm a Zoomer, as we've said many times on this podcast. Yeah, we're into round three here, guys. It's moving. I'm still writing who we took last time. Damon Arnett.
Oh, I gotta write down these colleges too.
Oh, Cole Kmet just went to Carolina.
Yeah, 69th.
We're not coming up anytime soon here, boys. What happened to our pick? We're at 86. Antoine Winfield, don't go. Do not take Antoine Winfield, anybody.
Well, here's the challenge. If Antoine Winfield's available, you've got Micah Hyde. You've got Jordan Poyer.
Oh, Chuba Hubbard just went. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, 78,
yeah. He almost made it. No, you're right. We'll have that conversation if Antoine Winfield's there. I have a feeling he's not going to be there, though.
I mean, there's a lot of running backs that... I mean, we could even wait on running back till the next day.
Oh, boy. Antoine Winfield fell to the third round. Antoine Winfield Jr. All right. It is 12:48. We have another 8 minutes to make this pick. We have conversations to have.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So let's look at the running backs available. As of right now, before, you know, just looking at what we have, right now, top of my board is Antoine Winfield. Just because Jordan Poyer, let me see how old Antoine Winfield Jr. is. I'm going to say, like, 30% of the reason why I want him is that his dad got drafted by the Bills, and it'd be funny. That would just be crazy. He's only 21. He's a year younger than me. Jesus Christ, what am I doing?
Yeah, right.
Sorry, midlife crisis there, or quarter life crisis.
That's what happens when you turn 38 like me.
You mean 25?
25.
Okay, I'm looking at running backs. I'm very comfortable waiting until the next round if you guys are. I'm actually incredibly comfortable waiting a little bit because I like Najee Harris. I like Anthony McFarland. I like Trey Sermon. And if we're getting deeper in the draft, I really like Kennedy Brooks. I really like Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma. And according to this, we could get him really late. So I am okay holding off until at least round four for a running back if you guys are.
That can work.
McKenna, any objections
there's
here?
Depth.
There is depth.
Yeah, but there is depth. But I just feel like a lot of these guys are going to come off the board quick.
You think there's going to be a run before we get on the clock again?
I think so, because I think it's going to start with Najee Harris, because he is, and he's a good complement to Devin Singletary. And the only other running back I really, really like is Clyde, the running back from LSU. He's the one I really, really like.
Let me look. Let me see if I can even find Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah, that's a good name.
That's a great name. I like him a lot because he's a shifty sort of guy like Singletary. Antoine Winfield.
If you go Winfield, you're pretty much saying this is Jordan Poyer's last year in Buffalo.
Ooh, don't tell.
I don't know if that's the case.
Right? Like,
I see that, but also, look, they're old. They're getting older. Micah Hyde is, and Jordan Poyer, I think they're both 29. I'm not saying there's going to be a steep drop-off. I'm not saying this is Madden, and once they hit 30, they're just going to fall off a cliff. But also, I think it'd be ignorant to say that you don't need depth at safety. Are they going to bring back Kurt Coleman? Are they going to bring back Dean Marlowe? They have Jaquan Johnson. Saran Neal's not even really a safety anymore. He's a nickel.
Yeah.
So looking at who they have right now, who is their depth at safety next year? Jaquan Johnson? Obviously, they could sign a safety, but I like Antoine Winfield. I think he's a very good defensive back, and he's 21. You can really mold him into whatever you want to mold him into.
That, but you can say that about a lot of guys in the secondary with McDermott, excuse me. It's not bad value either. Right now, we're sitting at the 86th pick, and he's ranked at 88th. It's not a bad. It's not bad. That's the thing.
It's not. Yeah, it's not.
But I really like Najee Harris.
I don't want to take a running back yet.
Wait, the third round, though, it's not a bad place to take him. It's not like...
It's not, that's where they took Singletary. It's certainly not a bad place to take him. I just don't... I don't think running back's that big of a need. Because you need depth there, but I don't know if I would spend a third round pick on depth, because I think Devin Singletary showed a lot this year. I really think he's going to be the featured back, and I don't know if you need to compliment him with a third round pick. But then again, I don't know. I think it, though I really like Antoine Winfield Jr., I think it'd be dumb to take a depth safety in the third round when there's other guys available, like a Najee Harris. You'll get Trey Adams, offensive tackle out of Washington. Anfernee Jennings, edge out of Alabama. I'm not opposed to Anfernee Jennings.
Here's what I'll throw out to you. What's the best part of the Bills' defense?
Probably the secondary.
So if we went Winfield, that means we would be drafting two secondary players.
On a unit that's already pretty good.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You're right.
If we're trying to go stronger. I'd lean more edge before...
Yeah, before secondary, yeah.
Safety, I mean, I don't know. I mean... damn.
No, you're right. No, that makes sense. Do we look at Anfernee Jennings, edge out of Alabama. He's 6'3", 260.
Thick, layered, and stout built. Yeah, that's a stout build. That's a comment.
This is from Reed. He says, because of his muscular build and thick skin, where do these people come up with these?
They're just calling him big. They're just
because of his muscular build and thick skin, like he doesn't get insulted. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah,
he has thick skin.
He's just very tough.
His range of motion and hip mobility is limited. Not an edge rusher that prides himself on winning the corner to Gardner Sachs. Is he more of a defensive tackle and an edge's body? Is that what's going on here?
How big is he?
6'3", 260.
He's a...
They like versatility. Let's look at Khalid Kareem out of Notre Dame, edge rusher. 6'4", 260, so he's taller.
Dude, look at the first pro.
Dude has stupid vines.
What does that mean?
Do not look at his Vine account. His vines are so stupid. 6-second videos of complete nonsense.
Oh.
What like his arms, he has stupid vines. What does that mean?
I think that's what he has good length, but that's the worst. That's awful. Dude has stupid vines.
Dude has stupid vines. Oh, I just want to be a draft analyst, and I'm pausing the clock because Brandon Bean and company aren't doing this on draft day. They're just not looking at. They're not saying, "Dude has stupid vines." But like, what? Why? Like, if you're a draft analyst, how do you come up with this stuff?
Just like after that, it says uses length well and appropriately as it is an elite trait. That's like good. Like
that's
you know,
good.
That's good, but why do you start off with dude has stupid vines?
Stupid vines.
What does Trevor Sikkema say about him?
Has the body type of someone that you would think would predominantly win with power, but he shows good speed. Well, that sounds like a good player to me. Has more speed than you would think, but doesn't win with it. Well, that's contradictory to what you just wrote. Jesus. Maybe we should have watched film before this.
Again, I mean, they do have a very good pass rush. They have had a good pass rush for the last couple of years. So, I think it's a good pick.
Is there a spot that we need a starter? Because now we're starting to go into depth land. Is there a legit spot where we should think we got to plug a hole?
Josh Allen quarterback. I'm just kidding.
Well, like at any position?
At any position. Like if we think like, Trey Adams is a long shot on the offensive line to start at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're thinking that we're going to kick Cody Ford inside, or if we're going to kick, you know, Deion Dawkins inside.
Well, I think they re-signed Spain. Okay. I honestly think the offensive line is identical next year.
We probably should have talked about free agents first.
Hey, it's okay.
It's okay.
I honestly think they have an identical offensive line next year. And if they don't, I think they'll sign a guard. I think they'll sign a veteran guard to replace Quentin Spain. I do think Quentin Spain is impactful enough that you're not going to replace him with a third or fourth round rookie. You're just not going to do that.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. I say we either go running back or we go edge.
Yeah.
I like Winfield. He's a playmaker. It's tough right now to, like, dive into that. unless you think we could get an edge in the fourth round to be, because now if we get a guy in the fourth round, now we're kind of waiting and seeing, all right, we're looking at this guy making an impact in 2021.
Hold up. I just found that there's an edge rusher out of Auburn named Big Cat Bryant.
Legal name is Markavius.
That's a great name. I do like Big Cat Bryant, but I think there's more depth at running back than there is at edge. I know you love, what's his name? Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Najee Harris-McKenna, but I just think there's more. I honestly think it's more likely you'll find value in the fourth round at running back than you would at edge. So you guys can talk about this, but my pick would be Khalid Kareem.
All right.
I think that's a good pick, Khalid Kareem, because my only hesitation is that when there is a run on running backs, it's probably gonna happen right before the Bills, pick again. But you know, Khalid Kareem he can make an impact in his rookie season, which is good.
And Trevor Sikkema said, "Well-rounded game for a 4-3 defensive end." So I think that's perfect.
He's in.
So with the 86th pick, this is going to be cool because I'm going to edit in the draft sound. You guys are going to listen back and be like, oh, that sounds professional. So with the 86th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Khalid Kareem, edge rusher, Notre Dame. Khalid Kareem. Let me write it down. Good pick. There we go. We're on to the next one. And Trey Adams.
Trey Adams.
New England's listening. Belichick rigged it, and they're listening to our draft board. They're listening to our draft discussion, even in hypothetical land. And Antoine Winfield goes to Oakland, or to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, 91.
Anfernee Jennings goes to Baltimore. This makes me think that we're having the right discussions, because players who we're talking about are going immediately after we talk about them. But Najee Harris goes to Detroit at 99. Colin Johnson goes 100. He would have been a good depth pick in like the fifth round. I wouldn't have taken a receiver in 1 and 4. But there really hasn't been a run on running. Or actually, just as I say that, 3 running backs go off the board almost back to back. There's a run on tight ends right now. We're coming up shortly here. We're in 10 picks. Nobody really of note that matters to us is going off the board here. There's kind of a run on interior linemen right now. Nothing big happening. Well, it's the fourth round, really. Nothing big can happen anymore. But so what positions are we looking at here, guys? At pick 118, what are we looking at?
I would say running back. And then, if there's
maybe a
depth linebacker, maybe.
Yeah. I think you can get
tight end.
Ooh, tight end. That's true.
Yeah, I was gonna say tight end. I think tight end is a position of need. Albert. I don't know how to pronounce.
We're not drafting him.
Albert Okwugenbunam. Harrison Bryant out of Florida Atlantic, he'd be a good pick. But again, I don't know if he's...
That's later, yeah. That's
a later.
Yeah, you can get a lot of these guys at the, you know...
You have to remember we have 3 sixth-round picks and 2 fifth-round picks, so we've got...
Ooh. Well, that's unfortunate.
We got a lot going on in the last few rounds, so Godspeed.
I think you go running back here.
Anthony McFarland?
I love Anthony McFarland. You love... Or McKenna, you love Clyde Edwards.
Oh!
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I also like Kennedy Brooks, which according to this draft board we could get, he's valued at 254, so he's later in the draft.
Oh, it's like,
but hey, you can take 2 running backs when you only have I wouldn't take 2 running backs, that'd be dumb.
Marcus Murphy.
Here's the thing, the tight end discussion. I don't like Tyler Kroft's contract, but I like the tight end room. I think Tyler Kroft with a full season of health will be good. Dawson Knox showed promise. Jason Kroom, Tommy Sweeney, Lee Smith. I think that's a complete tight end room for the most part. I don't think you need to draft one in the fourth or even fifth round.
Yeah.
You probably don't even have to draft one, to be honest. I think that's a well-rounded room. There's no like superstar there, but there is depth. Do we look at offensive line? Because there's steep drop-off. across the offensive line. Like, Deion Dawkins is good, but his backup's Ryan Bates, and you don't want him seeing a game. Quentin Spain and John Feliciano are good, but their backups are Spencer Long and Ike Butker, neither of whom who you particularly want in a game. So that's the issue. Interior, especially offensive line, interior offensive line, that's something to look at. Defensive tackle is a position to look at if they don't re-sign Jordan Phillips. But again, this is an interesting discussion because you don't know who they're going to re-sign or not. So,
see, I don't think defensive tackle, like, I have this random theory that they're just going to bring back Legit and Harrison Phillips to fill the void of Jordan Phillips.
Yeah, Harrison
Phillips
plays. He just was injured all year. Totally forgot about him.
Yeah, so Harrison Phillips is coming back, and
oh, right, yeah.
You know, I mean, if they like him and they think he can do a little bit, and Legit's more of the big body to stuff some things. I mean, if Jordan Phillips is coming in and somebody's offering him, you know, in excess of, what, $10 million a year?
Yeah.
He's gone, so.
No, you're right. And also, I mean, I think they're expecting Ed Oliver to make a massive leap next year, so they're thinking that production that we got out of Phillips is going to be out of Oliver. But then you still need another rotational pass rusher. You need another rotational three tech, which, I mean, Harrison Phillips isn't, Legit isn't, Vincent Taylor isn't. They're all run stuffers. So I don't know. Are there any three techs available now? We're doing this in January, so it's difficult to know a lot about these guys, especially when we just came off a full season of writing about the NFL. Benito Jones, is he a three tech? This is a big dude. Great analysis, Krabs. He's every bit of 320, so he's not a three tech.
Nope.
LeBrian Ray, that's a good name.
6'5".
Tyler Clark.
No one else is found.
I don't know.
I mean, it says you could, like, that Tyler Clark dude could play three.
Oh, I didn't even. As you can tell, I'm not reading much. Tyler Clark could play three. But again, we have how many picks?
You know what? That could be a. I think he'd be available in the fifth, truthfully.
I'll write down Tyler Clark's name because that's someone to keep an eye on. Tyler Clark. So I think, like, you're in round four, you're looking at depth guys now. You're probably not going to find anybody who's going to come in and play right away in a significant role. So you're in a position to take best player available. So that depends on who we think is the best player available. And that might be a running back. Let me look at Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. Let me see a little bit about him. He's 5'8". Oh, you can't have two 5'8" running backs.
He's money with the ball in his hands. He is.
Anthony McFarland, he's 5'9". You can't have two.
That, then you
five.
Can. You can. This will be a. They'll trends. The Bills will trendset. Become trendsetters. Excuse me. Jeez, can't talk today. For offense, they'll pioneer something there with just a bunch of short guys in the backfield.
You don't need that. I don't think you need that, though. Granted, I don't know much about Clyde Edwards-Hilaire's game, but how would you describe his game, McKenna?
Singletary-esque. He's more powerful.
You don't need two Devin Singletaries. You need someone to compliment.
He's more
Devin
powerful,
Singletary.
Though. He's not afraid to run people over, and he's tough to bring down. He is deadly in the passing game, and if you get him outside, he can make you miss with some. With a nice, like, array of moves, and or he'll just run right through you and keep going. You know, Devin Singletary tried to do that a couple times this season where he'd look to kind of bring a guy down by just, you know, trying to lay him out or something, but could never really do it. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire can. He is a physical guy. He has some decent speed. I'd say he's probably quicker than Devin Singletary.
So he's Anthony McFarland, is what you're saying.
I've never seen Anthony McFarland play.
All three of these guys are not big guys. Vaughn's got a little more size. Oh, and by the way, I think we're well beyond our 5 minutes.
God, this is so hard. I just stabbed myself with my pencil, guys.
All right. Jeez,
oh, that
is
hurt.
Tough.
Am I gonna get lead poisoning?
Never know.
From a graphite pencil?
It's a mechanical pencil.
Ooh, no, graphite.
You'll be alright.
Oh, so I'm not gonna get lead poisoning.
Don't think
Thank
so.
You. moving on.
So the two guys, so Edwards-Helaire and McFarland are more, they got the speed, right? I don't think Vaughn is this speedy.
I mean, I don't know anything about Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah, I don't,
though. That's
I don't
a great
know.
Name.
Yeah.
Anthony McFarland, he's not slow. He kind of reminds me of Singletary. He might be quicker than Singletary, but they have a very similar skill set. I don't think you need to.
Like, all these guys are, yeah.
Here's the thing. Kennedy Brooks keeps sticking out to me, and you can get him late. Kennedy Brooks is 5'11", but he has power. I have a friend who's a big Oklahoma fan, and he's told me all along that Kennedy Brooks is going to be a good NFL running back. I think injuries have really kind of spurned him along the way. And Trey Sermon, again, Trey Sermon's another guy, 6 foot. Let's talk about him. This dude can block. I know it's a weird lead for a running back, but it's pretty refreshing to watch a back who can pop his pads and drop you like a bad habit. Ooh, very cool. but he's not fast, and they need speed. So let me look at Kennedy Brooks. Is he a? Let me see if they have anything to say about speed. Trey's shares a backfield with Trey Sermon and Jalen Hurts. Very much a part of the Sooners rushing attack. Body type looks like a guy who wouldn't beat pursuit angles with speed, but that's what his tape often shows. Well, that's what you love to see. Sort of a stiff runner. Look, I'm looking at linebackers at this point. I didn't want to fill Lorenzo Alexander's role in the...
Can you look up to see if Chase Claypool is still available?
Wide receiver? Yes. He is.
Okay. He's 6'4", 229, as you guys can see. He has great hands. He's a physical receiver. And you know how we were talking about LaVisca Chenault? Like, he's not about, like, your prototypical, like, boundary guy. Chase Claypool is. He can go up and get the ball with ease. That's how he made his name early on at Notre Dame. And he can run after the catch. He's, in a way, like, he isn't... I think he's fast, but he just has problem accelerating up to top speed because he's 6'4", almost 230 pounds. But once he gets his top speed, he's tough to bring down, and he can run almost any route for a big man, which is pretty impressive. And you just need to surround Josh Allen with more talent. Since he is 6'4", he can go up and get it.
I'm not opposed. Let me look. Oh, Shaquille Quarterman's here. I like Shaquille Quarterman. 6'1", 241, super physical Mike linebacker. Never mind, I don't like him. They don't need a Mike linebacker.
Just kidding.
What was I going to look at? I found somebody who I liked, I thought. David Woodward. Let me look at David Woodward. He's a tough and physical against the run. He's a downhill linebacker that has good tackling efficiency in the box. He plays with good pop and can uncoil his hips at the point of attack. No idea. He should be used exclusively as a 4-3 stacked weak side linebacker, so he could replace Lorenzo. Lorenzo played weak side, right? Or did he play strong side?
I don't know. I can't tell you that.
Okay.
I really don't know.
So D'Lo, you look at David Woodward. He's 6'2", 235, apparently should only be a 4-3 weak side linebacker. I said in earlier in the draft, I like Lorenzo Alexander's role. I think it's important, but I don't think I would replace it in the first round. I would replace it in the fourth round. So for me, I'm kind of, I have it narrowed down to Chase Claypool or David Woodward. So D'Lo, out of those two, who are you leaning towards?
Oh, God. I'd probably go Woodward, because then when I'm thinking about our wide, I like the Claypool idea a lot. The thing I'm thinking is you have Brown, Beasley, Chenault.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better, okay, Chase Claypool is, if it reminds me of Duke Williams, but if Duke Williams could catch the ball and was fast and could actually make plays after the catch outside of, you know, a couple cuts here or there. He's a good version of Duke Williams.
And does Claypool get buried on the depth chart?
I don't think so, because he's different. He is a different sort of receiver. And something that something to give credit to Brian Daboll was that he was able to use Cole Beasley in an interesting way in the red zone. But that, a lot of, sometimes it just really wouldn't work. And at times Buffalo just needed, as we watched, just need someone Josh Allen could just throw the ball up to, and the receiver could bring down the ball.
Do it.
We're going Claypool.
I say we go Claypool. You know what?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of taking a wide receiver in the first and the fourth, but also on an offense that was as lifeless as the Bills throughout the season.
Why not?
You need weapons. You really do. So with the 118th pick, in the 2020 NFL Draft, Buffalo Bills select Chase Claypool, wide receiver, Notre Dame. There you have it.
And so we
Chase Claypool.
We got a lot of depth coming here.
And David Woodward goes 2 picks.
Of course
later.
He did.
They know.
You love to see it. And there still hasn't been, like, a crazy run on running backs. I think there is. Oh, as I say Keyshawn Vaughn and Clyde Edwards-Hilaire go back to back. Anthony McFarland's still there, and no, he's not, because he went 126.
Green Bay.
All right, so
let's think about this. We need linebacker. We need running back.
Yep.
We need some depth guys that can kind of fill in. So let's we're in best player available mode.
We are. We're in BPA, the place where you love to be as a team. You don't want to be drafting for need in the fifth round of the NFL
Van
draft.
From Wisconsin looks interesting.
Cole Van Lannen. Van Lannen is an absolute load coming off the snap. Great writing. Just wonderful writing.
Hopefully they don't listen to this, because they're just going to come after us.
We've got 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
All right. Yeah, let's get going here. I think we're an hour deep. Jesus. He's an absolute load coming off the snap. He's got natural power for days. Okay, cool. Cool for you, buddy. Trey Sermon's there. I like Trey Sermon if we want to go running back, but I like Kennedy Brooks more than I like Trey Sermon. I want safety depth. I do, but I... Oh, let me see if what's-his-name is still there, that defensive tackle that we like. What was his name?
Big Cat, Brian?
Tyler Clark.
Tyler Clark's
there. Is it time to go Tyler Clark? Because if they do let Jordan Phillips walk, which, like you said, D'Lo, if someone's going to offer him $10 million, they're going to let Jordan Phillips walk. So what other three-tech do you have? What other pass rush do you have from defensive tackle?
Who do we have?
Ed Oliver, Harrison Phillips.
Oliver and Phillips.
Star, Latulale.
Not a pass rusher, really.
Harrison Phillips is not really a pass rusher.
Latulale's your one.
Yeah.
Your one tech, so.
You could use Harrison Phillips as a three tech. I don't know if I'd want to, though.
Didn't he play some three tech, though, last year?
I think I think the idea was for him to replace Kyle Williams as the three tech. But I don't know if I've seen enough pass rush out of him.
Yeah. This Clark guy sounds nice, actually.
Yeah, reading him.
Clark plays with strong and active hands and uses a violent and quick swim. Ooh, he can go swimming. Very cool. he's had flashes of playing with inconsistent motor and leverage. Oh, he's not going to make it in Buffalo if he doesn't have a motor. Will shoot himself out of his stance too high and play in a more reactionary role. Well, you're looking at a
developmental guy.
Tackle.
You know what? I would take this guy in the fifth.
Yeah, me too.
I'll take him in the fifth just because I really don't feel like
debating.
Spending 20 minutes talking about pick 137. Any objections here?
No, not at all.
Write it down on the card.
With the 137th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, Buffalo Bills select Tyler Clark, defensive tackle, Georgia. There you go. Very cool.
So now,
guys, I'm liking this draft.
Van Lannen, 138. Excellent.
Yeah, there's nobody, and we're coming up. We're coming right up again at 149. There's nobody really crazy coming off the board.
I mean, here. We could get our safety depth here if we want. Yeah. We can do our running back.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do. There's a lot going on here.
Have we picked a linebacker yet?
We have not.
Wait.
Oh, that's not good.
We haven't picked a linebacker.
We could go linebacker because this is the land of Matt Milano.
That's true.
Yep. Do you take a safety and try to convert him?
That dude's too small.
Too small.
No, I'm just looking in general. Transitioned corner. Zone coverage skills. Leave him in the deep half for best results. Well, that's what you want. You want somebody with zone coverage skills, ball skills.
Competitive toughness. That's great for Buffalo.
This Julian Blackman kid, he's someone to keep an eye on.
To our favorite school, Utah.
Utah, you got to love Utah.
The official college of the podcast, even though none of us went there.
Right, just like Port Vale is the official soccer team.
That's right.
I don't hate this guy, Julian Blackman.
Throw me some J.R. Reed action.
Yeah, let's see how big he is.
6'1", 194. We going back-to-back, George. Strong in the box. Yeah. Well, So he's a hybrid. When he sees where the ball is going, he's a nickel.
Yeah.
He's Saran Neal.
Yeah.
Okay, so no.
Do we go offensive line?
Wouldn't be opposed. John Simpson out of Clemson. He's had to learn something, right? 6'4", 320. To say he has heavy hands would be the understatement of the year. Oh, look at you. The understatement. That's such a hot take for a fifth-round offensive lineman. Understatement of the year.
Oh, his cons are wretched.
Struggles mightily with quickness. Well, you don't want that. Okay,
discipline. So. Don't want that either. Gosh. That's
great.
Those are struggled with
Antoine that. Brooks Jr. That's close enough to Antoine Winfield Jr. Name-wise, right?
Almost.
He's
a tight end, finally.
I don't... what have we... we've taken two wide receivers, a corner, a defensive end, and a defensive tackle. So we've addressed defensive line, secondary, wide receivers. You need to address the offensive line. You want a depth linebacker. All right, so let me write down what I want still. I want an offensive lineman. I want a running back. I want a linebacker. But again, you're not... you don't want to draft for need in these rounds.
I know, but...
It's like a Jake Hansen. What's his deal? 6'5", 300. Pretty crisp with fundamentals.
So he just needs to clean up some things. I think he sounds like...
there's a need for his hips and pads to be aligned for him to fully recruit his core.
You know what? It's the fifth round.
It's the fifth round. You can develop him into something maybe. Probably better depth than Ike Butker. So are we good with Jake Hansen here?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Wait, let me see when Kennedy Brooks is supposed to go off the board. We've got time yet for Kennedy Brooks, but Kennedy Brooks, 254. We have time. We'll take him in the sixth. So with the, unless there's a linebacker, I hate this. This is the worst idea for a podcast.
All right,
we've
what about
ever
this
had.
Gandy Golden dude? Or no,
Gandy Golden,
Patrick Queen.
He's a killer.
He's a Milano. Yeah, that was good. I feel like he's a Milano.
Just going off instinct.
Yeah, 6'1", 227.
Lack of strength is a major concern. Struggles to disengage from blocks at the point of attack. Well, here's the thing. Struggles to disengage. Well, let's see. A natural athlete with effortless sideline to sideline rage. That's a Milano. Reads and reacts just as efficiently as he tackles. That's a Milano. Does a nice job using his quickness to free himself from second level blocks. They're a good tackler. Shows flashes of tone or adept at zone coverage. All right, so Pat Queen. I mean, as we've said hundreds of times on this podcast,
he's an athlete.
Exactly. This defensive coaching staff can take late round athletes and turn them into contributors. So Pat Queen in the fifth round, is that sound like a plan? With the 149th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, Buffalo Bills select Patrick Queen, linebacker, LSU, DBU, but we took a linebacker.
All right,
Trey White will be ecstatic. Right. I'm liking this draft.
We have
boys.
3 sixth-round picks.
Yikes. Why?
Do
we have a seventh? Or is this
no, we don't have a seventh because we traded that for, I think, Benjamin. I'm almost certain that was the Benjamin trade.
What a trade.
What a guy. What a man.
So who do we want? We want OL. I'm just going to make the executive decision here, guys. I'm going to be Brandon Bean.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you who we're going to pick at pick 168. We're going to get a steal out here at pick 168. Steven Montez goes, oh, he sucks. Good job, Carolina. Add another trash quarterback. All right. So, with the 168th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Kennedy Brooks, running back, Oklahoma. Sorry, guys. I just had
reached.
To do it.
That was a massive reach.
It's not. He's a good compliment to Devin Singletary. I don't care about what the Draft Network says.
Now, I'm also wondering if... okay, we have two more picks. That's good. Because the one pick was for Russell Bodine, and I don't think that was... well, that was solidified when the Patriots lost. I strike whatever I said.
All right, so we're at the point where we can just take athletes at whatever position.
Athletes, yeah. If there's a safety floating around.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say there's so many running backs, then I realized that I was in the running back section.
Wow, yeah, so many.
All right, let me
write
this
you know
down
what? The kid from Wake Forest, I've heard. Like, I know we don't need him right now, but that linebacker.
Justin Strand, 6'3", 235, good size. Really encouraged by development down the stretch. He looked more confident in keys and breaking in the ball in both run looks. Okay, that's cool.
That could be our next, like...
okay. Little over...
do you take two linebackers,
for our next
though?
Pod. Because we're only going to do, like, 40 of these by the time the draft happens.
That is true. We're going to do a lot of these.
I think... picking it at 187, do you go the last pick, just get the best tight end off the board, and then go for offensive lineman here, or vice versa? It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. These guys are going to be developmental no matter what, so
yeah.
It's...
Yeah, let's look for the best, who we think is the best raw offensive lineman here. There's a drop at interior line. Michael Onwenu, incredible athlete for his size. Cool.
6'3", 350.
Big boy.
Not a little guy.
Multi-year starter entering his senior year. Even with his size, he's able to reach defensive line with impressive lateral mobility. You love to see it. Did we take... No, we didn't take a lineman.
No.
I think I talked myself
out
of one.
We went Queen instead.
Right. Appears to have shorter arms, which can limit the amount... That's such a dumb criticism. He's able to get underneath the pads of opposing defensive linemen. While he's able to attack up to the next level, he lacks strength in his engagements. More athletic linebackers do a good job of avoiding in space if Onwenu isn't able to take them on square. So that's just, like, in general. It's just, like, a general complaint. I don't hate that. Let's look at Cesar Ruiz.
No, another Michigan product.
Had inconsistent stretches last season, or this is analysis from before this season.
Yeah, a lot of these are before. They're still. He can give too much initial interior penetration.
Oh my god! These are all just inappropriate.
He's a good job at recoiling in order to anchor.
Too much. Sadiq Charles, really like how dense his torso is. This could all just be porn right here.
It is. He's built to be a football player. That's awesome.
Guilty of flashing his hands late, he's prone to give up his chest as a strike zone. Oh my god.
Is this baseball now? What are you doing?
Oh my god, I hope people have stuck with us this long.
Once hands land on his chest, he struggles with recovery ability. Oh, was suspended week one.
Oh my god,
that's not good. Oh. Scott France. I just want a athlete. I'm going with that. I don't care anymore. I'm going with the interior lineman athlete, Michael Onwenu. If that's cool with great. You guys. Okay, Mike. That's his new name, Mike. Onwenu. All right. So, with the 181st pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, Buffalo Bills select Michael Onwenu, Michigan.
Let's go 187 and wrap this up.
Here we go, guys.
You know Bean's going to trade down for like 2/7, and we're going to be like up all day on that Saturday.
Oh, I can't
just
wait.
Just waiting.
I can't wait. Oh, Cesar Ruiz just went. Okay, so at this point, we take best athlete at no matter the position. Except running back.
Or wide receiver.
Or wide receiver.
Though. Or wide receiver. Let's look at this DJ Wonum.
DJ.
6'5", 260. That's a big boy.
Yeah, it doesn't look.
Yeah, he doesn't really stick out.
I mean, I'd rather
have
Daryl Johnson then.
Oof.
Well, good analysis.
There you go.
Not Daryl.
Let's look at Geno Stone out of Iowa. Good name. 5'10", 210.
Okay. He's solid.
Smart, savvy player who fits the pedigree as a Hawkeye defensive back. Oh, Micah Hyde.
I take him.
He's Micah Hyde. Well,
look at he's Kendall he Cone. Took over after Amani Hooker left. Leadership role.
Ball skills and zone coverage have yielded promise. Not particularly sold that Stone is a dynamic athlete, while Micah Hyde's not really a dynamic athlete.
Oh, look at the con.
Anyway. He's more of a grinder and blue collar.
He's in.
Oh, no.
With
doesn't even matter.
The
he's
187th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Geno Stone.
It's a good draft.
He'll be best friends with Micah Hyde, and it'll be settled. So.
There we go.
Wow.
I think the draft's done here, boys. Yeah. Let's look.
It's not bad.
Let's recap the draft. In the first round, we took... The Buffalo Bills took Laviska Shenault, who I think will be the number one offensive weapon for Josh Allen next year. Second round, Damon Arnett, cornerback out of Ohio State, who will come in and compete with Levi Wallace for the starting job if he doesn't win it. You know, he'll be a solid rotational guy, a solid rotational cornerback if you need him to, probably special teamer. And he's coming from a good pedigree because Ohio State typically produces very good corners. And he was playing opposite Jeff Okuda, who's the best corner in this draft, so he was bound to be overshadowed. Third round, Khalid Kareem, defensive end, intriguing defensive end project out of Notre Dame. Fourth round, Chase Claypool. We went back to Notre Dame to add a 6'4 receiver who, as McKenna described him, is Duke Williams, but good. Fifth round, Tyler Clark. We added some pass rushing ability from the interior of the line with an intriguing athlete. Fifth round, again, Patrick Queen, linebacker. We took who we think could be a Matt Milano type, just a guy who they can get a lot out of, an athlete who they could transform into something. Sixth round, Kennedy Brooks. We found our complimentary back for Devin Singletary. And then we took Mike, I don't even know how I wrote that, Onenwu, offensive lineman, intriguing athlete who you can do whatever you want with. And then Geno Stone, we took the next Micah Hyde. There is your analysis. I'm going to give that draft an A+, guys. What do you think?
I think so. I think it's perfect.
I think it's a pretty good draft.
Not knowing how it... not knowing anything they're going to do in free agency, it's a good draft. We are 117 deep. Jesus
that wasn't
Christ.
Bad. That's actually way better than I thought we were going to be.
That's a good draft. I'm proud of it. Thank you, guys. If you made it 1 hour and 20 minutes deep, thank you, guys, for listening. Make sure to follow Bills Wire on Twitter, at The Bills Wire, and on Instagram and Facebook and all that jazz. You can follow me, at Kyle Salaghi. You can follow D'Lo, at...
At Jay DeLauro.
You can follow McKenna, at...
McKenna Middle.
And I think that's it. I think that wraps up this long podcast. Good mock draft. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for joining me on this podcast. And tune in next week when we'll do something undoubtedly not as fun as this. Bye-bye.